Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and someone. We're about to announce the new co-host on the Dead Set Legends. We have had applications to replace Duck all over the place. Let's be honest, Duck left us in the lurch to join his mates on the Saturday rub, so we need a replacement. People from everywhere. Mick Fanning is saying he's pulling out of the World Surf Tour. He sent an application in.
Hey, Mick Fanning here. I heard there's a spot going on Dead Set Legends, so might put my hand up for the job now. I've got a little bit of extra time.
A bit inconsistent, though. Just wasn't sure if it was pumping down the coast where the Mick would turn up, so he came in fourth position. In third position, a truly international operator who plays cricket all around the world by the name Kevin Peterson wanted the job.
Hey, Howie, it's only me. I believe you're after somebody who's recently retired, who is a Dead Set Legends fan and wants the job. So, me, buddy, I'm fresh. You know I'll have it. Don't go anywhere else. I'm your man. Cheers, bud.
He is the man and was well and truly in consideration until he announced his fee, which would have been pretty much the cost of the whole hot breakfast times five. So KP priced himself out in third position. In second position, a man that is loved all around Australia and wasn't happy with KP, the great Adam Gilchrist.
Are you serious? A South African that lives in England and loves Australia. How can you trust him? No chance. Mate, Howie, the job that's been vacated by Duck leaving. Look at me. I've got the gear, the cans are on. How stylish. You've got a mic. I'm ready to go, mate. Just give me a chance, mate.
The time zones of Koskili, though, being a West Australian, he would have had to be in at 4 a.m. So that was Fanning in fourth, KP in third, Gilchrist in second. Hife, can you give me some form of drum roll or a little noise or something? We're about to introduce the new co-host to bring entertainment to the people of Melbourne every Saturday morning on the Dead Set Legends. The new co-host on the Legends is a legend himself, Brendan Favola! The big fev. Hang on, big fella. Give me a hug.
Hug it out.
There's some love for the fev, mate. You've achieved a lot in your career. You've kicked goals galore, 99, in fact, one season for Carlton.
Thanks for reminding me.
You went and won I'm a Celebrity, but obviously this is the biggest moment in your illustrious career. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Howie. It's such a delight to get into put the cans on and be alongside you on a Saturday morning. You know, you've got nothing else to do on a Saturday morning. Why not hang out with Howie on the best rating show on a Saturday morning?
Well, that's it.
What a privilege.
There was a lot of positive feedback from the couple of shows you did. I must admit, the big penguin, my four-year-old, at this stage, he's still preferring the duck, but he is coming around. He says, I'm not sure if I like that guy's voice, but is he a nice guy? I said he is. So you got the big penguin.
Thanks for that. I had KP covered. I've got the duck covered.
Yeah, I'm not sure you got KP covered. It was more a budget issue for KP, to be completely honest.
You haven't seen my contract yet,
no,
big
That's
fella.
True. No, mate, it is. It's fantastic. So you'll be here pretty much every week, which is great. So it's great to have you on board, mate.
Thanks, mate. And the cans wouldn't have fit Gilly's ears anyway, so we had him covered. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, mate. So yeah, you've been great, and I'm excited.
All right, we're excited as well. Plenty to come on the show. We've got to talk footy. We're talking boxing next. We're going to the United States of America as well. It is Mark Howard and the new co-host, the Big Fevolenko. Who would have thought it? On the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. What a week it's been for the Golden State Warriors. A new record in NBA history. The most wins in a regular season by the Golden State Warriors with 73. Quite incredible. And right at the centre of that is, of course, Australia's Andrew Bogut.
It's official number 73. The greatest regular season in NBA history now belongs to the 2016 Golden State Warriors.
Andrew, great to speak to you. Congratulations on an amazing season for the Golden State Warriors. Number 73, how big has this been in the United States?
Yeah, it's been huge. Look, we've had journalists basically follow us full-time, national journalists, which is kind of rare for us, since about December. And it's kind of been the talking point every day on ESPN. The lead up to having a chance to even get to 70 was national news every day. So it's been massive over here to have a chance to break the all-time record and to be up there with one of the best teams of all time in the Chicago Bulls as well. Has been a huge honor for us. But it was definitely circus-like in a way. We had a lot of attention media-wise, fan-wise, and and it's becoming, you know, like a travelling roadshow in a sense.
Bogey, how difficult is it to celebrate such a massive achievement but still focus on the playoffs with your first game tomorrow? I guess you've achieved so much, but in the eyes of the team, the big achievements are still ahead of you.
Yeah, that's the beast of the NBA. You know, even during the regular season, you might have some big wins on the road or at home or whatever it may be, and there's another game around the corner the next day or the day after, or you're travelling, or you're flying 4 hours, and it's the same in this sense. You know, we didn't have much time to reflect on what we've done because we've got a Houston team coming in here with an early start game tomorrow for us, which is a 12:30 start, and then the silly season begins again. So they don't leave you a whole lot of time to really reflect on what you've done until the very last game. So hopefully we're there, you know, late June again and have a chance to win another championship, and then we'll have a few beers with the team and reflect on it all then.
The coverage here in Australia has been incredible. Every time we turn on the telly, we see Steph Curry banging three-pointers from everywhere. Have you ever seen perimeter shooting like your man Steph's doing?
He's had a great year. I mean, he was MVP last season, and he's stepped it up a notch this season, which is kind of something you don't say very often about an MVP. So he's worked on his range in the off season, and he's taken shots from three, four steps beyond the line, and shooting them like most guys do right at the line. So he's obviously a huge part of why we're successful. He just puts so much pressure on the defense and stretches the defense out so much that guys like myself and Draymond Green and so on get a lot of easy baskets just because there's so much attention on him. So he's a huge part of the offense.
You've once again had a great consistent season. How are you feeling heading into the playoffs?
Last season I was good. Last season I wasn't banged up going into the playoffs last season. So this last couple of years has been very good. Obviously, a key to that is avoiding high impact injuries, which is generally the consensus of what I've had in my career is impact type injury that you can't really avoid too much. But yeah, it's been a good year for me. The coaching staff and the team have done a great job managing minutes. No one on our team's, you know, even close to high 30s or 40 minutes a game, which is a huge factor going this deep into the season. So it's been a factor of numerous things that have helped not just myself, but helped keep a bunch of guys healthy. So I'm feeling good going into the playoffs and looking forward to a good run.
Andrew, what a wonderful time it's been in the NBA. It's almost a golden age again. You were playing at the same time as Kobe. Gee whiz, he went out in style, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and then that's a vintage way for him to go out. You wouldn't put it past him to come out and put up those kind of numbers in his very last career game. So, you know, the whole league and the whole world, the whole basketball community around the world was watching that game, and you know, utmost admiration of what he's done in his career, and then to finish it off that way, it was simply a storybook ending. So he definitely deserves it, and he's left his imprint on the game forever.
It's a massive year for yourself. You're heading into the playoffs, obviously, which is your focus now, but then the Rio Olympics are coming up. It seems to be a wonderfully exciting time for Australian basketball.
Yeah, we've got a lot of guys firing over here in the NBA and in Europe, EuroLeague, and we've got one of the most talented and deepest squads we've had in a number of years. So looking forward to making sure we get everyone in there healthy and in the right mind. And I think we have a good chance to go in there and make some noise. But obviously we need everyone healthy and everyone committed to play their role for the team. And obviously when Olympics comes around and your national team, your role might be a little bit different from your club. And if you have everyone buying into that and playing their game, I think we've got a very good chance to be very, very competitive over there. So it's very exciting times for basketball in Australia.
A lot of talk back here, mate, about Ben Simmons and would he or wouldn't he play in the Olympics. A really tough decision for a young man who's trying to forge his career, I'm thinking.
Yeah, it is. Look, and Benny's obviously got a lot of years ahead of him. I expect him to play in the next campaign. He'll obviously miss the Olympics, but he has a lot of things he needs to prepare for. He needs to come over and settle into the figure of drafting, settle into, you know, just adapting to life as a professional now and getting his body right for the NBA. So I think, you know, you can't hold it against him. Everyone obviously wants him to play, and there's people out there that are disappointed, but I think it's a smart move for him in the facet of his own career, and I think he'll obviously be committed, you know, beyond the Rio Olympics for the Australian national team. So I think once this Olympics is over, and people kind of forget about it and move on, and he'll be ready for the next couple of campaigns.
Great to hear from Andrew Bogut. That was recorded this morning. The Golden State Warriors looking to go up straight away when they start their campaign in the NBA playoffs tomorrow. Next, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola will have a look at all the weekend's footy as well as the Dead Set Legends of the Week. Mark Howard, Brendan Favola. That was Andrew Bogut on the Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. Fev, you like your boxing. You like
love
the
boxing.
We're about to introduce a man from Sale in Victoria who is set to make his Olympic debut after he secured a bronze medal and Rio qualification at the 2016 Asia Oceania Olympic qualification tournament in China in early April. His name is Jason Waitley, and he's not Jared Waitley's son, as you went with Fev. He joins us now. Hello, Jace.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Yeah, wonderful to speak to you. Now, from what we can gather, we haven't heard of you in the media at this point, but we're going to over the next couple of months. From what I can gather, you're a footballer who was pretty good at getting into a blue on the footy field, and all of a sudden you're an Olympic boxer. Tell us a bit about your story, and congratulations, Jace.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's about how it went. I used to play footy down in East Gippsland, down at Lake Entrance. And as a young bloke, didn't mind a bit of a scrap, and then loved the boxing sessions that would run for training. So every year, Bensdale used to run a tournament, and they'd get two local footballers to fight off against each other to draw a bit of a crowd, create a bit of interest. And the coach come up and asked me, and I said, I'd love to. So I got in there and won me first one by a TKO in the third round. I thought, how good is this? You don't even get in trouble for it. Beautiful.
And you went from there, you progressed through, obviously it got a little bit more serious, and now you're off to Rio to fight for your country, and if you knock blokes over there, you certainly won't get in trouble for it. In fact, you'll be lauded for it.
That's right. Dream come true. That's what it's all about.
Now, mate, you're also the boxing coach down at the Hawks.
I used to be, my trainer was, and I used to go down and help him out, do a bit of sparring with the boys, and just help him out with a bit of training and that sort of thing.
Now, who can throw him? Who's good?
Gibbo was pretty good.
Oh, don't say that.
Gibbo.
Gibbo was all right.
Was he?
No, Roughhead was good. Hodgie was good.
You're just going with all the big guns there. What about? I don't reckon Gibbo would like to get one put on his chin, though. He loves his looks,
right.
Gibbo.
He used to like sparring me. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not very good at throwing them. I don't know what's going on.
So tell us a bit, Jace. You're fighting in the heavyweight division, are you? Where are you fighting?
Yeah. So I fight in the heavyweight division. So 81 to 91 kilo in the amateurs. That's where I'll be. I'll sort of sit around that, make that weight pretty easy, so it'll be good.
And where have you fought in the past? You've obviously, leading up to, you just missed out on London, so you've had plenty of international tournaments before. What type of places have you fought in?
I fought in 2010 in Cuba. I fought over there a couple of times. I've been to a couple of tournaments there. I fought at the 2013 World Championships in Almaty, Kazakhstan.
Ooh.
I fought at a World Championship warm-up event in Doha,
in Qatar.
Right.
Yeah, and then I fought again there in the World Championships last year, 2015. And I've had a few other international tournaments, sort of New Zealand, that sort of thing, New Caledonia, a few other little tournaments, yeah. So I've been around a bit, it's been good.
Now you've been on Dead Set Legends, mate, you're going to be everywhere. And we've penciled you in for gold, but who in the other countries, who is your biggest rival? Who are you looking out for?
I wouldn't say I'm looking out for anyone. We've all got two ends, so I'm just ready to get in there and get into
Bang.
It. But probably the best two at the moment on the official rankings is probably Russia and Cuba. So, I mean, they're all good. There's 16 in the division and 16 of the world's best fighting off, so, you know.
Yeah. I'm penciling him in for gold, mate.
Well, and he's got swagger.
He's got swagger.
We'll be all over you, JC. We'll be pestering you if you go well. Now, before we let you go, I spent some time in Rio, and for a little skinny young bloke as me, it was a little bit, you got to be careful two streets back anywhere from the beach area. The Aussie team, I noticed, has been said they can't go out too much. They can't go up into the favelas on tours, etc. But surely as a 91-kilo boxer, you just roll into Rio and you do what you want.
That's exactly right, mate. That's exactly right.
196 centimetres is strutting his stuff on the beach in Rio.
It's a long way from Sale, Rio de Janeiro, though, Jace, I can assure you.
It sure is, mate. It sure is. But looking forward to it. Can't wait.
All right, Jace, listen, we really appreciate your time. You've got a great story to tell. Best of luck in the lead-up, and we might have a chat with you from Rio at some stage. Go well, great man.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
No worries. Confidence sort of chap.
He's got a bit of Chris Gayle about him.
He did, didn't
he? He's a champion.
He is a champion. Darren Stammy style. Next, we'll speak to Greg Rust, all things motorsport. Mark out. Brendan Favola. That was Jason Whateley off to the Olympics as a boxer on the Dead Set Legends. Two hands. They've all got two hands.
All got two hands, mate.
Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. Great news today for all the Oz kickers. NAB AFL Oz Kick, which is a wonderful program, has been the starting point for some of the biggest names in the game. It started today across Victoria. And I said to you in the ad break, Fev, did you play Oz Kick? And you said to me?
I was already signed up.
The AFL. He thinks, what a freak. You can find your nearest Oz Kick Centre and register online at aflozkick.com.au. And the ambassador, the number one man for Oz Kick, he's been with them for a long time. He's a Hawthorn superstar, as well as many other things. He's Shane Crawford. Morning, Crawford.
Howie, Fev, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's all happening. Nice to speak to you, Brendan. Well done on being in the jungle and doing a great job. So nice to have you home, of course.
Thanks, Shane.
Hey, Crawford, tell us about the excitement first morning of Ozkick, because I was just saying to Fev that my young fella, my four-year-old, the big penguin, he gets to play Ozkick for the first time this year. He's walking around in his boots. He's got his Hawks jumper on. It's such an exciting time for the little kid. It's great to see Crawford.
And it's great that his dad's there for his first occasion.
Shut up, okay. Crawf.
Well, come on, get yourself involved. No, it is a good family affair, and that's what it's all about. It's just introducing the kids to the great game of AFL footy, and it's about having fun and having a kick. And the good thing about it is mums and dads that can get involved as well, so they can help out with the drills. And it's a real social event. Not all the mums and dads get involved, I can assure you. They sit on the side drinking coffee while I babysit most of the kids. But it is a lot of fun. And, you know, the AFL, there's so many superstars that are currently playing have started at AFL Ozkick. So any kid that wants to be a superstar, like a Joel Selwood or a Jack Gunston, you know, that's where it all started for them. So get themselves involved.
And Crawford, kicked off in our family about 3 weeks ago when in the mail the big penguin got his first ever parcel, and it was an Ozkick bag with a footy in there and a pump, and just the excitement. He's been walking around with his footy and his pump for 3 weeks non-stop, ready to start.
Well, everyone loves a goodie bag. Remember when you used to go to the show, all you wanted was a show bag, so it's pretty much like that, full of goodies. And yeah, the good thing is you can get out in the backyard and kick the footy. Even if you don't have any friends, even if mum and dad aren't out there kicking with you, you can kick the ball up in the sky a lot like Brendan used to and practice your high marking. Although Fev never took many high marks. They're all out in front of him. But that's something maybe he could work on.
It's because I was really quick, Shane.
You were like really lightning.
Quick.
That's right.
Now, Shane, with Ozkick, mate, it's not just all about the young boys getting down having a kick. It's about the girls getting involved as well. And my young daughter actually did a bit of a footy clinic on Thursday, and she said, "Dad, I don't like football much, but I want to do Ozkick, but I don't want to do it with the boys."
there's a lot of talk around females and young girls getting involved in football, which is awesome. So, you know, in the schools, a lot of the girls are playing it. Obviously, there's going to be a huge competition next year where they're going to take it to a whole new level. So I think it's awesome. I've travelled all around, and I've gone to a lot of different clinics, and even with the, you know, some of the teenage girls. And I'll tell you what, the skill level with some
phenomenal
of the females is unbelievable. It's probably better been a few players at Richmond at the moment. But anyway, don't be like that.
Come on, Shane.
You're going a bit hard. Don't dig the boots in. But no, it's good to see, you know, everyone getting out and having a crack, and that's what it's all about. Give it a go and see if you like it.
Shane, your former club, obviously you finished in 2008 with that premiership at the Hawks. Could you have any idea what was going to unfold? And some of these guys that came to your footy club when you were there as an established player, the Roughheads and Mitchells and Hodges of the world, they're now four-time premiership players. It's quite extraordinary where that footy club's gone.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. I was very much the dead wood, because when I arrived, they were just finishing with all their success with Dunstalls and Brereton's and Platton's. And then for 16 or so years, I really sort of dragged them down. And then right at the very end, I luckily snuck in a premiership. And then as soon as I got out of there, up they went again. So I understand that I was a bit of dead wood, but I was very happy that I was a part of it for a couple of years.
Oh, you're talking yourself down there, mate. You're an absolute champion of the game. And to go out with a premiership, I think that it was something you might say very well deserved, Shane.
I couldn't have pumped up all the younger boys on that day. Say, so come on, come on.
Now, give me something.
Please. And we're very, you know, like it has been amazing watching the side, and I couldn't be prouder, you know, of the way they go about it and just the way they put the team first and just their hunger to back up year after year. And, you know, this year's no different. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit if they're there participating in another grand final and possibly winning. And you would have to say then, are they the greatest team of all time in the history of the AFL game if they are lucky enough to win four in a row? I would say yes.
I would say yes.
I would say yes. I'm already saying yes.
Yeah, well, that's right. And that, like, to have that hunger and that drive for success and knowing a lot of the guys intimately, they just, it's like they turned up the pre-season like they hadn't won a premiership and they were ready to roll again.
Yes,
mate. Yep, yep.
Come on,
go
Daddy.
For another lap. Go for another lap. Good. I'll time you. Yep.
AFLOzKick.com.au. You can get all the information. It's great for your kids, the boys and the girls and the family itself. Crawf, we appreciate you having a chat with us and good luck sending him around for another 400 or so.
No, no worries. All the very best, boys. Don't worry, Howie. I'll look after your kids. It's all good.
You got enough, boys. One more won't hurt. Shane Crawford, AFL AusKick ambassador. Next, we're going to the United States of America to speak to our man there, Joe Fortenberg, all about what's been happening in the world of basketball. And Andrew Bogut will be having a chat with us after 11. That's all coming up with Mark Howard and Brendan Favola on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. Fev, all happening in the United States of America this week with basketball, etc. going on. And our man over there, who just dominates for the game, 95.7 in the Bay Area, is the name of Joe Fortenball. We spoke to Joe several times last year. It's a great pleasure to have him back on again. G'day, Joe.
Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
What a week it has been in the Bay Area. The number 73, the Warriors, a new record. How big has this been in your part of the world, Joe?
It's been huge, especially coming off last year's championship. There's always some concern when a team wins a title about how they'll respond the following year, given the fact that, one, you run very deep into the month of June and you have less time off than all the other teams. Number two, you're on the banquet circuit. Maybe you're partying a little bit. Maybe you get a little complacent. But that's what speaks to the greatness of this basketball team, is that all these players and all these coaches have come together, and the focus, the commitment, the determination, every single night they want to prove to the world that they're the best basketball team out there.
Now, the playoffs are starting, mate, in the States, and that's, for me, that's amazing. I love the playoffs. They've gone through the 82 games. But now, at the end of the day, it's all up to the Cavs and the Warriors. Will it be round two?
That's what it looks like as of right now. That's what Las Vegas has set as the odds-on favorite, Warriors versus LeBron James and the Cavaliers. For the Warriors, it's going to be a slightly more difficult path. They'll face the Houston Rockets in round one. This is a team they faced in the Western Conference Finals last year. They beat them four times in five games to advance. This season, they were 3-0 against the Rockets, winning by an average of 12 points per game. Last year, they were 4-0 against the Rockets, winning by an average of 15 points per game. So the prevailing thought is that this series, best of seven, shouldn't go more than five games, given the fact that Houston is not as good this year and they have a little bit of dysfunction amongst the locker room in addition to some injuries. The two teams that could stand in the way, the San Antonio Spurs, who had a remarkable season of their own, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, led by Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Those two teams are likely to meet each other in the Western Conference semifinals. The winner will have the right to play the Warriors, and it's going to be interesting because both teams present unique challenges, but as of now, neither has fared very well against this Warriors team over the last 2 years.
Now, earlier in the week, mate, one of the greatest players, or probably the second greatest player of all time, Kobe Bryant, hung up his Nike cleats.
In style.
In style. Put up 50 and had 60 points. Could you have written that any better?
No, you couldn't have. For Kobe Bryant, he was on a bad basketball team, and some of that's his doing, to be all honest with you. He took a major contract a couple years ago when he was at the end of his career, and if you're in his shoes, you're doing the exact same thing. I don't blame him. But because of that, it hamstrung the Lakers. And between that, some questionable coaching decisions, some questionable front office managerial position decisions, this is a franchise that has fallen on hard times. But for the final game, at home against the Utah Jazz, the team went ahead and just let Kobe take every shot imaginable. 50 shots, one of only four players in NBA history to take 50 shots in a game. He came away with 60 points. He led the team back to win. So for the second worst team in the NBA to generate that much interest and that much excitement in the final game of the season, you really couldn't have written it any better.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And Mamba out. Absolutely love seeing him speak after the game. Now, as we let you go, Joe, Chip Kelly, the new man in charge of your mob, the 49ers, how's that going to position our man, Jarryd Hayne?
Well, I'll tell you what, there are a lot of questions surrounding the San Francisco 49ers because it is a team over the last 2 years that is the epitome of dysfunction. They don't appear to get along very well in the front office. They've been making a lot of bad decisions. They haven't handled the media well. They haven't handled their players well. But now they've got a new coach in Chip Kelly who's looking for a fresh start after a relatively poor run in Philadelphia. He's going to be working with Trent Baalke, the general manager, to get things back off the ground. Now, by all indications from what we've heard, Jarryd Hayne will be back with the club. But when you add a new coach to the mix, you never know how it's going to play out. I can tell you this. While we're unsure of Jarryd's future, the Bay Area is very fond of him. They like him very much. We're all hoping he gets another opportunity because now that he's got some experience under his belt, the sky's the limit.
Joe Fortenbaugh, 95-7, the game in the Bay Area around San Francisco. We appreciate your time as always, Joe. It's great to speak with you.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
He's a star, Joe. Talking about stars, joining us next from the West Coast Eagles is Will Schofield. Mark Howard, Brendan Favola on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. Fev, big announcement during the week. There was some negativity about Port going to China. I always like to think, well, they're having a crack. Give it a go. See how it turns out before you jump against it. So footy is going to China. And last week we played a bit of the boys in the commentary box commentating in Mandarin. It was absolutely fantastic.
好球,阿雷的港第一个六分球,他们拿到。Well,
one of those men was Jamie Pye, a Chinese football commentator and a good Melbourne man who's also coaching this morning in Melbourne. G'day, Jamie. Where are you coaching this morning?
Oh, look, I'm like Fev. I'm from the southeast suburbs, from Dandenong originally. So I coach at Keysborough in the thirds. So we kick off the June in the morning here.
The Bulldogs?
Kookaburras.
The Kookaburras, are they?
Kookaburras.
They wear the Bulldogs jumpers.
That's correct, the Burrows. I think you remember them quite well. I think you were Parkmore in the junior days.
No, I was Narry Warren. Played a senior game against Keysborough back in, about 4 years ago.
Kick, a few of the boys.
Kick 12.
Now, anyway. Jamie, tell us about this move into China. Is there any imprint at all of AFL football in China? Not so much with the expat community, but with the local community.
Yeah, absolutely. Down south in Guangzhou, there's quite a bit of Aussie rules. You'll find them in schools. There's a AusKick organization down that way, and there's also a couple of academies. There's a around this time there's competitions running, so there's leagues playing down there as well. Mm. So yeah, it's quite a bit happening in the last few years, and obviously. In 2010, we went over there to play an exhibition game. Since 2008, the Chinese team's been involved in the International Cup every 3 years as well. So, look, things are happening, and news like this is just going to, really set it off again. So, I'm looking forward to this.
That International Cup, Howie and Jamie, I've actually watched it in Shanghai.
Fantastic.
All the sort of expats get around. But we actually, it's a great idea by Port Adelaide to get over there. I played over there for Brisbane. We played in Shanghai against Melbourne. And the Chinese supporters absolutely loved the game. I'm not quite sure they understood it too much because we kept a point and they cheered louder than when we got a goal.
Yeah.
It's a great market.
I was there commentating that game for you guys.
Oh, were you? Well, there you go.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I was in the studio there. I travelled with you guys.
I was drinking frothies in the grandstand.
Absolutely, mate. I remember we did, there was an Asian Cup, Asian Championships that we went to.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. And all the Brisbane boys went, the Melbourne boys didn't. I think they went to another function, but you guys were around everybody. And that was a great day. It was a carnival-like, atmosphere where there's round-robin games playing on three, four different ovals. And obviously a lot of frothies around. So
The Melbourne boys were getting paid for a cashie, but we did the hard yards and went and supported all the boys.
No, that was absolutely fantastic. That was a fantastic trip down that way.
Jamie, this could be an opening for you because it's a massive market and you're one of the few blokes I would have thought that could commentate footy in Mandarin. You could become the new Chinese Bruce McAvaney right here, right now.
Look, I think it's a little bit hard to crack into the Chinese commentating game. Number one, it's controlled by the Chinese government.
Oh.
Yeah, so an Aussie larrikin like myself is going to find it hard to get in there. But,
well, we've got Howie, mate. Howie knows everybody. He can pull some strings.
I'm not sure I know the Politburo in China, though, Fev, to be completely honest.
Let's make some moves and get me in there. Look, I'm certainly hoping that I can help out in any way or shape or form. In making this a really good thing next year and hopefully years beyond. But look, not even just for China, but for guys here, for our Chinese community here in Melbourne and around Australia, it's a fantastic thing. I mean, how good is it for us to be able to say, look, you guys back home, this game is the best game here in Australia. We follow it all the time.
Best game in the world, Jamie.
Correct. You get to have a look at it, and I think that's really positive for us here.
All right, Jamie, this is your audition right now. I want to hear a bit of Mandarin commentary, and I want to hear the ball moving forward and it ending up in the hands of my man, Favola. This is what they're going to be hearing in China. This is your audition right now. So Carlton have got it in the middle. Fev's up forward.
Favola!
Hey!
Oh, trying to Favola summon. New from Favola!
Jamie, you got the job, mate.
That was brilliant.
You've got the job. Listen, best of luck with your team this morning. We'll chat with you throughout the year. Jamie Pye, we really appreciate it, mate. Best of luck going forward.
Good on you, guys.
Thanks, Jamie. I think you got Judd, Gibbsy, Cruiser, Murphy, and then the big dog
at the end. That was Jamie Pye, Chinese footballer, caller, Mark Howard, Brendan Favola, Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard, Brendan Favola. Fev, now that we're tight, now that we're buddies, now that we know each other well, I can't believe I'm going to make this next statement.
We're just like peas and carrots.
That's exactly right. I'm now going to ask you for some parenting advice.
Oh, beautiful. I've got three beautiful daughters.
There you go. I've got a couple of kids, as you know, Skysy, the 6-year-old, the pickle, and the 4-year-old who operates and will only answer the name of the big penguin. So in my family, it's been passed down. My father, I don't know what's with the nicknames, but my father operates as the Eagle. And the Eagle was a big Hawks man. And his father before him was a big Hawks man, and it's been passed down the generations. So I became a big Hawks man, which, let's be honest, has worked out well for me because they've had a very successful period when I've been around, which is fantastic. So the big penguin's been alive for 4 years, and he's seen one grand final loss and 3 grand final wins. So he's had a pretty good start to his supporting career. He knows on every Sunday after the grand final, because I'm lucky enough to go down there and introduce the Hawks in front of the crowd, which is the best thing you can ever do all year. So he thinks grand final day, he watches the Hawks win, he goes down the next day, he meets Cyril and he gets a photo with a cup. That is grand final day for the big penguin. Okay, that is what he thinks happens.
He's blessed.
That's exactly. He is blessed. He comes home to me the other day. Now, we are in a staunch Geelong area down in Bowen Heads in the Bellarine. You go to Auskick, and we'll be speaking to Shane Crawford shortly about Auskick. Everyone is in Cats jumpers. It's just cats, 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 cats. So the big penguin is a beacon out there as a Hawks man. So for the first time in his life, he's getting outside my sphere of influence because he started at kindy. He comes home the other day and he said, Dad, who's your second team? I said, mate, there's no such thing as a second team. You have your team, which are the Hawks, and that's it. He said, well, I'm different to you. I said, what are you talking about, son? He said, I've got a second team. And I'm thinking, don't say it. I said, who is it? He said, it's the Cats. So the Cats are currently his second team. I have great fear, Fev, that all of a sudden, at some stage, his little buddies at kinder are going to pressure him and they're going to get elevated to his number one team. Now, Auskick starts this weekend, but it's a bit different down Bowen Heads. So on Sunday morning, Auskick, they go down to Skilled Stadium, all the kids in the area, and have a clinic with the Cats.
With the Cats.
Now, this is...
You're in trouble,
it's a potential disaster. So as a father, what would you do at this stage?
Well, I know my father. I actually barracked for Fitzroy as a kid. And
that worked out well for you.
Yeah, that worked. But my dad didn't know too much about footy, but he was a Saints man. And he brought me a membership. And I sat in the cheer squad.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. So I converted to the Saints. But I think the only, like, oh,
how hard do I go? Do I say, you right, go, you're not sleeping inside, mate, if you start having a second?
You go hard. You've got a lot of connections. So maybe get one of the Hawks boys to give him a call.
Oh, nice.
A signed jumper.
Nice.
Go down and have lunch and they get to meet him so his eyes just pop out of his head.
This is good advice.
Because he's going to be meeting the Cats players, obviously.
Yeah.
Or you move.
Move to Hawthorne. Move out to Waverley.
Move to Hawthorne.
Extreme, but effective.
I think you ring, who's his phone? Hodgie?
Oh, probably Cyril.
Cyril. Mate, get Hodgie and Cyril. Shout him for lunch. Take the penguin and say, mate, look at this. And the boys get a signed footy. They give him a membership. They do whatever. And he's sold. You can buy his love for football.
The segment Ask Fev, I think, if you deliver this form of advice, can have real wheels. I like it. I like these sitting down for dinner. I don't even move house. I don't mind.
Well, that's if you don't want him to bury for Geelong, move. Because he would soon not worry about the Cats if he's living in Melbourne.
Penguin, if you're listening, I know you're on the way up to town today. You're a Hawks man, 1, 2, and 3. There's no second team in our house. After 10 o'clock, Shane Crawford will join us to talk all things Auskick, Will Schofield from the West Coast Eagles. And after 11 o'clock, Andrew Bogut will join us as well. This is Mark Howe, Brendan Favola, Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Oh, Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. The boys from the Saturday Rub, not too far away as they get ready for the Essendon versus Geelong game this afternoon at the MCG. It's been a big 3 hours on the Dead Set Legends. If you haven't heard it all, this is a bit of it. The new co-host on the Legends is a legend himself, Brendan Favola! The big fella. Hang on, big fella. Give me a hug.
Oh, hug it out.
He comes home the other day and he said, Dad, who's your second team? I said, mate, there's no such thing as a second team. He said, I've got a second team. I said, who is it? He said, it's the Cats. How hard do I go? Do I say, you're not sleeping inside, mate, if you start having a second team?
You go hard. You've got a lot of connections. So maybe get one of the Hawks boys to give him a call. Or you move.
Andrew, what a wonderful time it's been in the NBA. It's almost a golden age again. You were playing at the same time as Kobe. Gee whiz, he went out in style, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and then that's you know, I guess his way for him to go out, he wouldn't put a pass in to come out and put up those kind of numbers in his very last career game.
To have that hunger and that drive for success and knowing a lot of the guys. Yes, mate. Yes.
Come on,
go
Daddy.
For another lap. Go for another lap.
Good. I'll time you. Keep us to the edge. One again to you. Favola!
Hey!
Oh, transit Favola summit. Hilton Favola!
Thanks to Jamie P in Chinese commentating the big Brendan Favola, to Shane Crawford and all the Oz kickers, to Andrew Bogut as well, telling us all about that remarkable streak. Also, Jason Waitley is going off to the Olympics in boxing. Joe Fortenberg from the United States of America. Greg Rust and West Coast Eagles player Mr. Schofield, which was absolutely fantastic. Oh, Will Schofield getting him on. So lots of guests. But now, Vev, it is time for the Dead Set Legend of the Week. Who are you going with?
I'm going with the great Kobe Bryant. 20 years in the business. Mm. Probably go down as the second all-time greatest player behind MJ. Lifelong Lakers fan. Got drafted to the Charlotte Hornets and traded straight away to the Lakers. Donned the number 8, then went on to number 24. And to put up 60 points.
Yep. It's a good one. I'm going for, I nearly went for Danny Willett, the winner of the Masters, but I've gone for Jordan Spieth. And this is what he had to say after losing the Masters.
Pretty sure I'll be disappointed with that one. There's, you know, we still have the confidence that we're a closing team. We can close. I have no doubt about that ability. I just think it was a very tough 30 minutes for me that hopefully I never experience again.
Yeah, some would think it's strange that I gave the loser of the Master of the Dead Set Legends of the Week, Fev, but to get up and speak directly after having his heart torn out, I thought was absolutely fantastic. Talking about heart torn out, you're going to do that to the opposition. Deer Park, where today?
Deer Park Football Ground. Get there. My brother's on his way. He's listening in the car. We're going to kick some snags.
The boys on the rub up next. This has been the Dead Set Legends on Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman.